Another example that I think of that's going on at Bigelow that I think of as a tool for adaptation is ways to do basically early warning systems. So I mentioned things like red tides and oyster parasites. This is that oyster parasite again. A lot of these are microscopic and they're microbial. Some of them are really hard to detect. And so there's this company called Biome, which builds this device that you put your iPhone into. And it's basically a genetics tool that you can do in your home. The scientist at Bigelow who's starting to work with these does this nice talk where he does like a cheek swab at the beginning of the talk. He puts it into his iPhone, this device, and it runs, and it finishes by the time the talk is finished, and then you can see if you have a genetic predisposition to whatever the test is, I can't remember, some heart disease or something like that. So it can do all this kind of genetic, these sort of genetic tools that you used to need a big lab for are starting to get more and more portable and more accessible to everyone. And so the way I think about these being used as a tool for adaptation is, you know, imagine if every shellfish farmer had them up and down the coast, and you network them together. You could know instantly if something like a red tide or some type of parasite were coming into your area. I mean, that's been one of the big problems with climate change, and also with the increase in shipping, is invasive species and the spread of microbial species and the damage that they can sometimes do. So that's a pretty neat tool for adaptation. Because I really like viruses, I have kind of a crush on viruses, one of the tools for adaptation that people use is actually, it's almost like a vaccination of the ocean. So lots and lots of the viruses in the ocean are specialists. They only affect one other organism. So you can actually use viruses in the ocean, like if there's an undesirable microbial species, like a parasite or a red tide or something, and you can find the virus that's associated with that species. Normally what would happen in a natural cycle is the species would bloom, the virus would follow, and that would sort of end the bloom, and another species would come in. There's this sort of succession. But if you know that, if you can isolate that virus, you can move its timing earlier and sort of inoculate against a damaging species in the ocean. And they do use this method in different parts of the world, in things like aquaculture, for example. So I think that's pretty neat.